As I mentioned, Sister Norma and I are pleased to be in your midst this weekend, and we very much appreciate you, brethren, here in Salem, Oregon. Many of you we've known for many years, and you've been great examples for us, and we do thank the Heavenly Father for your example and your strength, your dedication to uphold the principles and doctrines of the truth as we have all grown to love, and we are very thankful for that. So Salem class holds a dear spot in our hearts. As Brother Lou has mentioned, we thought we would take a look at a topic today. Am I speaking loud enough?
Yeah.
A topic today that I call it a review. It's nothing new. You've all studied it. You've all many times have seen the illustrations and whatever we get from this chapter. Brother Lou had asked me what the topic was yesterday. I says it's a review and it's nothing new. And he said, good, we don't want to hear anything new. In the context that it was meant. So it is beautiful. The truths, as we have learned to understand them and appreciate over the years, they are basically reviews for us many times. But it's important that we go over these points to embed them upon our minds, to get a greater appreciation of them. And the truth is beautiful, isn't it? So, Revelations 12, and we encourage everyone to open their Bibles to that chapter. And the reason we go over a topic such as this is basically a twofold thing: to enhance our faith and to see that it's a very pictorial image, is it not? This chapter is quite peculiar when you look at it on the surface. Some think it to be a picture of the establishment of the true kingdom. Some claim that the man-child mentioned is Jesus, while others think it is the church. The first view is incorrect, for then the woman must be the Jewish church. The last view is inconsistent, because of the 1260 years mentioned. It is to acquire a clearer understanding of this symbolic picture that we dwell on this subject today. And for this reason, it has been considered one of the most difficult books. So let us examine carefully the picture as it begins prior to papacy's development. Let us read that first verse. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. What is this? This gives us our setting, that of an exalted place, or an exalted position, the position and power of spiritual control. The woman here, clothed with the sun, represents the gospel church, covered with the precious promises of God and the glorious light of truth. The moon under her feet is the reflection of the gospel light. It was light, not the real, but only the reflected. As we have, as of even today, the moon is a reflection of the light of the sun. A perfect example of these are such as the types and shadows of the tabernacle shadows. We see such important types as the priesthood, with the progress shown walking from the gate of the court to the magnificent entrance into the Most Holy. This we only have a clearer understanding of by the enlightenment of the New Testament. The sun, tabernacle shadows of the moon. We have the picture and type of the robes of glory and beauty with all the embroidery work upon it, showing the progress again of a Christian, the growing of the graces of the Spirit, again brought forth clear by the light of the New Testament. Then we see the typical sacrifices, such as the bullock, Lord's goat, ram of consecration, and the burnt offerings. How wonderful they all fit with in the Lord's plan, the hub of our understanding and the hub of our doctrine of the ransom. Only again by the New Testament happenings and writings, so truly we see a shining by the sun. An enrichment of the happenings in the Old Testament, which makes us realize the importance of the sun-moon relationship. Let us continue a look at verse 1. The woman was not under the law, the moon, but under the grace, sunlight. Yet she was supported by the teachings of the law and rested on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. These we see as the divinely appointed and inspired teachers, the 12 apostles, and the apostolic light. Let us read verse 2. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in pain, and pain to be delivered. And she, being with child, here is the explanation. The child here we believe to be who? The Catholic Church or Pope. The start of the counterfeit of God's kingdom. Travailing in pain. Travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 6-7, we read, and now we know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. We see that there is a revealing of the wicked one. This deliverance of the child is the revealing of the Pope, the Catholic system. We also read in Daniel 7, verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Let us look at verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon her head. Very pictorial verse, isn't it? Here is a continuance of John's vision. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. The great red dragon represents the pagan Roman Empire. The 7 heads representing Rome's successive and distinct forms of government. And the 10 horns, the divisions of power. These being mentioned to identify it, that's Rome, as the same beast or government described by Daniel and elsewhere in Revelations. In heaven, the part of in heaven, as we said previously, symbolizes the place of control or rulership. Both woman and dragon are said to be in heaven. The woman or church in spiritual control, the dragon or empire in political control of the world. Sounds like church and state. If we locate it right, the woman is seen in this vision about 308 AD and has been in the Smyrna stage as described in Revelations 2:8-10. Now this we can think of Brother John's talk that he gave in Seattle of the seven stages of the church. Revelations 2:8-10. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear not of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. It has been passing through a long series of persecutions from the dragon, that's Roman Empire. The continued persecution caused some to relax their vigilance for the truth and a spirit or desire to please and get into favor with the persecuting dragon. That came over some of the bright ones in the church. So we read in verse 4, the tail of the dragon drew 1/3 of the stars. They became his followers or servants, which of course tended to degrade them. The long-desired favor of Rome came at last by the conversion of Constantine in AD 313. And there we believe the labor pangs of tribulation ceased and papacy was born. That is, there the blending of church and state commenced. It was not yet the man of sin, in the same sense that a child is not a man, but it was the beginning of what resulted in papacy, the man of sin. The man child was born. Roman favor was so sweet to the church after so many years of persecution that they were ready to make religion and everything to suit the views of their new half-pagan friend, Constantine. With his favor, the open opposition of others measurably ceased. Thousands, yes, millions were brought into the church from paganism. But the change was mostly in name, for the pagan priests became Christian priests, and the pagan holidays came to be called by Christian names, as we have. Christmas being one of these holidays, kept sacred by the memory of the great goddess, since called the celebration of Jesus' birth, though actually nearly 3 months astray. The church knew that the promise of her Lord was that he would end her persecutions by delivering her, and that she would be exalted to the control of all the kingdoms of the world. And some were so rejoiced at the favors of Rome that no doubt they fancied that in this was God would give them the kingdoms of the world promised. Persecuted and reviled, she, the woman, was pained to be delivered and longed for the completion of the promised seed of the woman, which should bruise the serpent's head. her anxiety and desire in this direction produced a premature birth, the man of sin, the papal hierarchy. Being the offspring, this male child at first, a weak one, AD 314, was gradually caught up unto God and to his throne, or exalted to the position and titles, homage and praise of the true seed, so that he as God sat in the temple, that's the church, of God, showing himself that he is God. And within 300 years, he did rule the nations with a rod of iron. Let us read 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, he so readeth, let him understand. Moving on to verse 6 of Revelation 12. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. The woman mentioned here again is the true church. She flees into the wilderness condition. In what year? 539. Into solitude, an outcast because of fidelity to the truth and the Lord. It was in this wilderness condition that the true church, as typified by Elijah, was fed for 1,260 days, which comes to 1,260 days. A day for a year. 3.5 years as typified by Elijah also. Why do we take a day for a year? Let us read Numbers 14:34. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. And there was war in heaven. There was a conflict or controversy between the two elements, the church and the empire. When this son of the church attempted to take the ruling position, this conflict and casting down of the dragon or civil power continued for several hundred years, or until AD 752, when in the pontificate of Zachary, the German court decided that no metropolitan could enter upon his function without the approval of the pontiff. In the same year, Pepin asked the sanction of the Pope to ascend the throne of France. 752. Michael and his angels. The papacy and its supporters fought against the dragon, pagan rulers, etc. And the great dragon was cast out of heaven. This conflict between papal and pagan power resulted, as we have seen, in the gradual overthrow of the latter. In looking at the name Michael, we ask ourselves, does he really symbolize the man of sin? And is not this the same Michael referred to in Daniel 12? We answer no. The account in Daniel 12 is a literal statement. The resurrection and other matters there mentioned are literal, but not so in Revelation 12. The woman, tail, stars, horns, etc., are all symbols. And it would be out of order to have a real Michael fight a symbolic dragon. However, it seemed puzzling at first to know why this name should be given to Antichrist. But on turning to a dictionary, we find that the meaning of the word Michael is who as God. It is quite remarkable that the meaning should be in close accord with Paul's description, he as God sitteth in the temple of God, as in 2 Thessalonians 2:4. When the dragon was cast out of heaven, that's out of the ruling position, it left this one, who as God, in control or in the heavens, and from his issues, him, issues the loud voice, that's great proclamation, of verse 10 to 11. That is papacy claiming to assume control. The kingdom of God and the power of his anointed had come to the world. They claimed that they had overcome, by the blood of the Lamb, their lives and testimonies. They claim that their victory was the result of the firm stand of the Smyrna church, which just previously had suffered so much persecution. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens. Let papacy and all connected therewith rejoice. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, as the church had once been persecuted when paganism reigned, so now, when she reigns, she makes the pagans and heretics suffer. This papacy claims, as the millennium reign, during which it broke in pieces the kingdoms with a rod of iron. So we ask the question, is it the dragon that caused the woe, or the church? We answer, remember that the dragon represents Rome, and that the same dragon has various heads. We find that in Revelation 17. Here it had fully taken on its fifth head, papacy. It was the same Rome under a new rulership or head, and the same power which had previously persecuted the church, the empire, and its army. Under the new ruler, it persecuted pagan and heretics. Remember, therefore, that hereafter the dragon represents the empire, or military power under the control of its ecclesiastical head. This military power must be made use of by its new head, and its forces were directed against the woman and against the remnant of her seed, against ones who didn't join the apostasy, against ones that kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus in their hearts. The testimony of Jesus was and still is the spirit of prophecy. Among those of the church who did not join were some whose descendants in after years were known as Waldenese, Huguenots, and etc. These doubtless knew from the prophetic word not only that the same Jesus would come again to be glorified to his saints, but also that there would first come a great falling away, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, before the day of the Lord, that they would probably recognize papacy in its true light as the Antichrist. To the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, and that she might fly into the wilderness, literally the place deserted, into her place, as we read in verse 14. Anyone seen the movie of the Israelis being picked up in Ethiopia? And Israel flew in with cargo planes and the seats all removed. And all of the Jewish Ethiopians were on the tarmac. And when they landed, they filed into the plane. And they sang the song of being lifted by two wings. Apparently, it was the most orderly flight that ever was known by all these Jews sitting not on seats. The wilderness symbolizes disrespect, outcast condition, while city represents the reverse, namely popularity, honor, respect, dominion, the kingdom. The Lord Jesus left his church in the wilderness condition, saying, "In the world ye shall have tribulation. Marvel not if the world hate you, but promise that in due time he would come again and take her out of the ignoble and exalt her to honor, respect, and dominion in the kingdom with himself." That is, he would take the church out of the wilderness into the city condition. This city condition is beautifully represented by a symbol of a glorious New Jerusalem city. We read in Revelations 21:2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." It was not wrong for the church to long for the coming blessing of the New Jerusalem condition, but becoming impatient, she left the wilderness and wandered off toward the world's city and had joined with them. Therefore, she left her proper place. She succeeded in getting a footing and in partly remodeling the city, but she merely made it a Babylon, a confusion, mixture of church and world, a city mixture, and of course could not make it a New Jerusalem government. The two wings we understand to be the same as the two witnesses elsewhere mentioned, that is to say, the Word of God, the Old and the New Testament Scriptures. The Scriptures showed them that the present is the time to suffer with Him, if we would futurely reign with Him, the real Bridegroom and King of Nations. She was nourished during the long reign of papacy from when? 539 to 1799, which was 1260 years. 3.5 times or years, symbolic time. The true church, though so much smaller, always a little flock, was scarcely worthy of the historian's notice as compared with papacy. Yet God knew all the true ones and fed them, and they became so strong as to be willing to seal their faith with their blood. Thousands, yes, millions, being put to death by papacy, so that she is represented symbolically as being drunk with the blood of the saints and martyrs of Jesus. Reading Revelations 17, 6 and 7. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. In verses 15 and 16 of Revelation 12 now, we will read, And the serpent cast out of the mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The dragon, which is the empire under its papal head, cast out a flood of waters which represented truth after the woman to destroy her. But the earth, that's the world in general, helped the woman by absorbing the waters, the truth. This culmination was recorded with the eventful happening of the French Revolution 1799, when Napoleon took the Pope prisoner. Paul sums up this era very nicely in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Interesting. Divert a little bit. The dragon cast out the flood of waters, which was the truth, and the world absorbed it. How long has that been pouring out? We talked about that last night. And this truth still coming out today, that the world is absorbing. And it will happen until the switch in its entirety, won't it? We see that every day. We see that in world events. We see that in a lot of things where the truth is still being poured out in different little facets. And that's what gets us really excited when we read and see these things that are being revealed slowly and slowly. The Greek word, did we read 2 Thessalonians 2:8? Okay. The Greek word here translated reveal is apokalyptai, and signifies to uncover, to remove a disguise. Papacy had deceived the whole world into the belief that it was the kingdom of God, and the counterfeit was so perfect that only the few in the wilderness knew its real Antichrist character. And by and by, the Lord raised up Luther and others of his time who pulled off the mask covered the revealed papacy in the true light as the Antichrist, the man of sin, a base counterfeit of the real kingdom and reign of the true Christ. This was the point and edge of Luther's, and in fact of all the preaching of the Reformation times, and resulted in the taking away of papacy's dominion to consume and to destroy it until the end. Daniel 7:25-27. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. The most of the church have again left the wilderness condition since 1798 and are mingling with the world, and therefore find less fault with papacy than hitherfore. Such must get out of Babylon themselves into the separate or wilderness condition before they can get a good view of the harlot or her daughters. We read in Revelation 17:3-5, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Verse 5, "And upon her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth." Therefore, seeing that this system is being revealed, we ask the question, did she come to a sudden end? We answer no. Paul says, "Whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth." To consume is to waste gradually. The spirit of his mouth, his word, the truth. This agency for the consuming of papacy was progressed for about 300 years, or since God's word began to be published A.D. 1525, and particularly since 1801, when it's God's word, the two witnesses, was exalted to heaven, the place of esteem of reverence, about which time also the dominion or temporal power began to be taken away. Papacy has ever realized that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, would be its destroyer, and has sought in every way to keep it from the people, and would today, as in past ages, burn every Bible if it could. Its civil power has long been wasting or consuming, but ecclesiastically it still lives and must yet. With Protestantism and the kingdoms of earth playing an important part in the opposing of the establishment of the real kingdom of God, but it shall be destroyed, and Paul tells us it will be during the presence of the Lord, whom the Lord shall destroy by the epiphania, the light revealing of the parousia, the presence of himself. Papacy has been losing its power gradually. The Spanish Inquisition, the last of its kind, was abolished in 1870. We understand from Scripture that the Lord is now present, gathering or separating from the nominal mass of Christians the bride. These will soon all be associated with him in the kingdom work, the first part of which will be the overthrow of all injustice, oppression, and error, and consequently the overthrow of all the systems and institutions which uphold these. The setting up of this kingdom will, of course, involve the overthrow of all the kingdoms of earth, as they are all, even the best of them, founded on injustice and unequal rights. And we're finding that happening more and more, year by year, month by month. Amazing how we're noticing this happening, isn't it? Founded on unjust and unequal rights, and oppression of many and favor of the few. As we read, it shall break in pieces and consume all those kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This will involve the various sectarian churches, Babylon, for all are bound and committed to the support of these kingdoms upon which they lean, and which they have claimed to be Christian governments, and have recognized as of divine appointment, instead of as beastly governments, permitted of God only under Christ's time for taking his great power and exercising the control of earth, the fifth universal empire, Daniel 7:17, 18, 23, and 27. We won't read those for now. The marshaling of the Lord's army is even now in his presence, in progress. The light shining from his presence is not only preparing the living of the little flock for joint heirship in the kingdom, but it is awakening and gathering other classes totally different in character, hopes, and aims. The Lord's great army for the destruction of wrong and oppression. That is the communists, the nihilists, and we'll even say Islams and Muslims. Now organizing for the overthrow of the light, the knowledge. Knowledge is the agency used to enlist these, and it will continue to shine out until every dark and wicked system is shown in its true light. Then will mankind be prepared for the reign of righteousness, when the King, Christ, shall reign in righteousness, and princes, that's saints, shall execute judgment, justice in the earth. Isaiah 32:1. Thank God for his word. How we should prize it. It is the light which dispels error and scatters the power of darkness, and is indeed a glorious hope. And it behooves us to so run that we may obtain the prize of our high calling. Overcoming the world, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony, that it may be ours to share in the real kingdom of the real Christ, of which papacy has been an abominable counterfeit. So it's with these words today, dear friends, that we just go over this picture that has been given to us. It's beautiful to go over the fact that we look at history and see how it corroborates the 1260 days, the 1260 years, and how things are progressing down more even at this end of the age. It's quite interesting what we see happening around us today. We talked a little bit about the newsworthy item that happened a week ago with this Texas minister that wanted the burning of the Koran. It appears there just may be a different type of happenings in the world at this end of the age. We don't know. But we do know that there's 1,487 religions in the world today, as in the given by the computer. Christianity was known as to be the number one religion. It is now taken over by the Muslim faith. And that is the fastest growing religion. So we do not know how things will culminate, but it's all in the Lord's hands. We do know that, isn't it? And whatever the Lord sees is going to just be fine. But we do know it's getting close to the end. Interesting to not spend a lot of time on the things that's happening in the world today, but it's interesting because we're anxious, aren't we? We just want to get it going and happening and get it all set up. Well, we can get a little impatient too. So we appreciate being here in your midst today, and we trust the words given can be overruled if anything is said amiss. Lord, add his blessing.